You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Stugatz, over the course of the playoffs coming up here, we're going to merge our world some with All the Smoke to cover basketball. And Amin is going to be appearing on a variety of different shows, but one of them is Bully Ball with Boogie Cousins and Rachel Nichols. And we got to him finally. We found him. How evasive. Chris, how annoying has this been today? Because it's been difficult to locate Amin to get him to answer some questions about his international shame.
We've had our whole team on it. I've been texting with them, people in the back, and we finally, as post-game here, we got him. He tried to evade us.
Ramadan.
Okay, yes. Unbelievable series of excuses. Amin, explain yourself. Jessica, you said it was a circle changeup. Everyone, the internet is mocking you for your follow-through, for your form, not just the air ball. What is your excuse?
Well, first of all, not evasive at all. If you look at my Twitter timeline, I have been very welcoming for all and any ridicule and shame for what was a terrible-looking shot. The only thing I'll say is that's not how I shoot, and you don't have to take my word for it. Just talk to anybody who's hooped with me, and that includes NBA players, NBA coaches, NBA media people, music executives, platinum recording artists, you name it.
But it's how you
that's
shot.
Right.
Like, we saw it. We watched it.
Yeah,
like,
that was one that got away from me. I don't know what to tell you. Right. That's not how I – and by the way, I'm not talking about – like, oh, I'm usually Klay Thompson. I'm just saying, like, that's not how I shoot. Like, my form does not look like that.
But we all saw it. That was your form. The only time.
That was my form. Was my form on that shot. Right. On that shot, that was my form. But that's not my form.
But that's the only access we have to.
His knuckleball's different.
Any of your work in this realm. Like, there are people really undermining your future credibility, saying this will end his career. His analysis stinks. No one will take him seriously after this.
Let me say this. The only people saying stuff like that are the people who didn't agree with something I said to begin with. There's nobody who was like, man, I used to really enjoy his analysis, but now I haven't seen this. Oh, everyone who's saying all that stuff are people who already disagree with me because I said something about their favorite player, or I said something about their favorite team, or I said something about their city, or I said something. It was something else. So I'm not worried about this. I know the quality of my work. I also know that that's not my form. So
right.
I don't have any worries about credibility or career.
But
whatever.
We saw your form.
Not my form.
Zion Williams.
Not my form.
It's in the corner of the screen, and that's your form.
Dan, let me ask you a question. Remember when JaVale McGee had that wild-ass rolling hook shot that went to nowhere and then ran back down court even though his team had possession? Is that JaVale McGee? Or was that just JaVale McGee in a really bad moment right there? I would say the latter, and that's where I'm at. You know what I am? I'm a victim of the we done with the 90s thing. You guys seen this? It's trending on Twitter.
No, you can't be
Instagram.
Using this as an excuse.
Absolutely.
You cannot
done with
be,
the 90s.
You cannot
you
be
cherry
doing
pick,
this.
You cherry pick the one thing that I did that looked terrible.
You're
say that's how they played.
You think
I'm done with the 90s.
You think you're getting drugged by the internet because it's fashionable to make fun of back when you were in your prime at basketball? In the 90s?
It's analogous, Dan. Follow along. It's fashionable to make fun of the guy who has made a career making fun of people. That's why I'm not fighting it. It's like, yo, these are funny. 90% of the jokes are hilarious.
What do you have? How many do you have in front of you? How many do you have? Can you?
I was told that you guys would have some ready, but I guess I can pull some right here. Can you
read? Really sounds like you're laughing along.
Can you read some of the funniest criticism that you have gotten this weekend because you are getting drugged by the entirety of the internet?
Let me just say the highest honor that I've gotten was, you know, the Art But Make It Sports account where they'll take moments and then they'll find a painting from classical Renaissance art that mimics that moment.
Yeah.
And they've done it for some of the great moments in sports history that have happened over the last year and a half. It's one of my favorite accounts. They did one for me. And as far as I'm concerned, this is like getting roasted by Don Rickles.
It's the highest honor. It's the highest honor. So now you're claiming that this is art, what you made with this jump shot. You're now claiming it's an honor and it's art, just to be clear.
I'm saying that they made art out of it. But yes, it is an honor to be roasted by that account because that account roasts like great athletes. I've never seen them do random people playing pickup or whatever. So
but it's because
the fact that I'm
just let's put on the screen
it's
right
me
here.
And JaVale McGee.
I want you to again see the gnarly demon fingers of dislocation that represent the Amin Alhassan jump shot.
Yeah, all right, so here we go. I got some in front of me right here. All right. No J Mayo.
Pretty good.
Looking
That's good. That's good.
Michael Adult Gilchrist. Craig Bodges. Let's see here, scroll down.
Ginobili.
Yeah, Ginobili.
Cheryl Oops.
Cheryl Oops. Looks like, by the way, Cheryl Oops is from Miles who took the video. Which is
shout out to
Miles. Because Miles Elric told me the reason he pulled his phone out to record to begin with was because I'd made like 3 or 4 in a row from that spot. So he's like, oh, this is cool. And then the first one he captures is with me missing like that. And he's like, this is better. This is way better.
What are the chances that he caught the one that's not your shooting form?
I know. What are the odds, right? All right. Let's see here. I got a couple more here that are pretty good. Stale Ellis. Mahmoud Abdul Rauf, BJ Armrong, let's see, Spaz Reed, Cry Lawson,
Gordon Wayward.
They're all terrible.
Larry Turd,
Stiff Curry, that's from John Hollinger, Dan Gnarly,
all right,
Marcus Cantby,
all right,
Cedric Erbalos,
okay, just
James Unworthy,
this is
Tony
all
Parker,
all right, more of this with Boogie Cousins and Rachel Nichols on Bully Ball, more
Jeff
of this,
Dr. OJ,
Jeff Hornishit, they keep getting
Bailing Brunson,
they keep getting lazier and lazier, Jeff Hornishit,
Josh Onoji. Tim Drunken, Bray Young.
All right, thank you, Amin.
I love him trailing out like that.
Like, yeah, that's why I love that voice. Great. He's still going.
Yeah, he's still going.
All right, Amin, you're down.
Up. Bring him back up.
Okay, all right, good.
Yeah, thanks, Amin.
Oh, shit. It's Murr. Holy shit. You guys didn't tell me Murr was coming on. Dude.
You want to hang out with Murr?
You're muted.
Go ahead. There you go. Go ahead. Now Amin wants
like a
to
damn
hold
fool.
All right.
Murr, let me just tell you right now.
What was that list?
Oh, it's a list of me getting roasted, Murr. That's not important right now. What's important is I love Impractical Jokers. It is one of my favorite shows. I share your clips all the time. Every time I'm on the road, I'm in a hotel room, and I don't know like what to watch. I know in my heart of hearts, let me go to True TV because I know Impractical Jokers has a marathon on, and I sit there and I laugh my ass off the whole time. You guys are absolute legends. I wish I could have the bravery to do some of the bullshit you guys do in public. So
we play on True TV 9 days a week and 27 hours a day.
And I'm there for every last second. Anytime I'm in a hotel room, which is a lot, every time, that's what I turn on, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
No, thank you. All right, let me clear out. Let these guys interview you for real. But
I mean, no, stay here. I mean, stay here for a second. Hold on.
Okay. I liked it better when we couldn't find him.
Don't leave just yet. Continue here. Since you're so excited, I don't know if the rest of the crew will be as excited as you are. So if you have questions for James Murray from Impractical Jokers.
Murray!
Have at it, because they're in their 10th season. They're just announcing now that they moved from True TV to TBS, and they've got stops in 19 cities. They're a bit of pioneers, right, when it comes to doing daring things on television just to make your friends laugh.
Dan, this is what I would say. It's a prank show, but instead of pranking people, they prank themselves in front of other people, which to me is way more funny, because pranking people is whatever. But when you are the object of the prank, either knowingly or unknowingly, my favorite one was when you guys had Homeland Security involved and everything about like the defacing of the statue. That's the peak, because my man Sal was shitting bricks. Like, he literally thought like this was it. This is happening. The show's going to get shut down and we're all going to get arrested for this. But I wanted to ask you, Murr, what is the most uncomfortable thing for you guys to do? Because you guys have a lot of recurring bits, but I have an idea of what the most uncomfortable thing is.
I get the worst punishments on the show. Absolutely. I mean, what's the most uncomfortable things I've done? I've gotten my nipples pierced. I got thrown out of an airplane. I've gotten 4 prostate exams on live television at this point. I got a catheter put in. My driver's license photo still has no eyebrows because of the TV show. I was forced to wear Q's real hair for a year on television. It just goes on and on and on, man. Like, it's never ending. My body is not a wonderland. It's the guy's torture device.
Can we see your license again? I feel like you look like Austin Butler in Dune.
Oh, I see it.
Is it?
I think I look like Lex Luthor's penis.
Is it worth it?
I wouldn't know.
Is it worth it? Because you guys now have a national and international following and fame and economy on doing things that are hanging out with your friends and having fun, but you're also doing substantive damage to your body.
Yeah, is it worth it? Yeah, man, the check always clears. So it's definitely worth it.
Exactly. And by the way, this was a great segue to talk about my shame, because that's the spirit that I've been going with. You know what? Is it worth it to go super viral the way I have for this jump shot? Absolutely, because you know what? The check still clears. And ultimately, that's what people get mad about the worst. That's not how I usually shoot, Murr. That's not how I usually shoot, Murr.
Murr says it's not worth it with you. I mean, Murr, right,
for
go
him,
ahead.
It is.
James,
it's
go
a
ahead.
Business.
Please, no, explain to us what just happened there, because that jumps out is so bad that you would not accept the shame of that, correct?
It's terrible. The form was terrible. You use a total airball. But also, on the TV show, I would take a shot like that because I'm being told to. You chose to shoot it that way. That's on you, bro. That's your talent level. Okay?
I didn't choose to shoot like that. There was a lot of factors going into it.
Three weeks ago, I paid a surprise visit to a high school in West Virginia. The governor of West Virginia is a fan of the show, asked if I would come down. He's the coach of the team. None of the students of the school had any clue I was going to show up, right? So walking into the gymnasium before their big game, the place goes crazy. There's 500 kids and parents in the auditorium, right? And so before the game starts, they throw me a ball. I was like, do you know the pressure of that moment of all these kids and their parents, 500 kids in this auditorium before their huge game to take a 3-point shot, and I flipping nailed it. Okay? That's how you, because I'm not on the show in that moment. I just got to look good. That was the worst shot I've ever seen.
Murr, I'm always on the show. That's how I live my life. Yeah. Every moment of my life, it's Truman Show for me. Every moment is the show.
I mean, stop turning this into a win. I mean,
it is a win.
Zion.
Zion. This is my Zion moment.
You're coming after Zion. No, you're coming after Zion for being fat, and you've been criticizing Zion. You've been merciless on Zion. And
was I wrong?
But look at your form.
But wait, hold on. But was I wrong
about him being fat?
Yeah.
No.
I mean.
Okay. All right. That's it. You know, it's just like if he makes fun of my form. Is he wrong, or does that mean he's not fat anymore?
You don't get to be Mona Lisa for that jump shot. You're not making high art here.
Too late.
No.
Too late. No. Art Making Sports already did it. They already made me Mona Lisa, baby.
James, he's excited to see you, but can you explain to us why it is? You guys have an unusual connection with your audience, and it's at least in part because you're making people laugh on the road where they're just, they know where to find you, and it's consistently empty calories television that's very easy to watch.
I don't know if it's empty calories.
Calories?
You've seen us get fatter and bolder on TV over the past 14 years. We are clearly consuming too many calories at this point. Why does the show work? I think because we remind people the jackasses they grew up with. You know what I mean? Like their best friends from their childhood. And it's kind of the show that everybody agrees on. Nobody's hurt in the making of our show except for us and our pride. And that's fun to watch. And and the live show is even better. It's like hanging out with your best friends on TV for a night. We are not handsome men, so I think we pose little threat to you or your families. So, you know, that's a big.
But you're the evolution, are you not? You are the logical 2024 evolution of everything from Jackass to Candid Camera to why television became popular in the first place with prank shows, because everyone can laugh at prank shows.
I think everyone can, and it's fun for us because we're not actually doing it on other people. Other people are just there to witness our embarrassment, and that works. That formula works.
I have a question for Murr. Do you guys ever get embarrassed when you have to involve family members, your family members, in the
prank? Last season, they used my wife against me. I came back to the house, and they had my wife put a catheter in me, and then I had to ride a zip line holding my own catheter bag. That was 2 weeks before we got married. So that's not fun.
She still married you?
She did somehow. I don't know why.
Who do you guys?
Surely not because of my looks. I mean, look at me. I look like a pharmacist. I don't look famous.
Well, how does she feel? How does anyone in your family feel about the way that you sell your shame for profit?
As I mentioned, the check clears, so they feel fine.
My man.
Who do you view as your inspirations, like for what it is that you guys have created as a television show? Because this isn't dumb luck. It underestimates you to suggest that.
It was a very calculated move over many years of hard work and TV development to come up with the idea from Practical Joker to sell it. There is a lot of work behind it and a strategy. That being said, our inspirations comedically. I mean, we grew up while watching the Zucker Brothers, man. Airplane, Naked Gun, all those movies, Top Secret, and of course, Mel Brooks. And one of my most prized possessions is right behind the camera. I have a signed script page from the original Airplane screenplay from 1979, which is awesome.
Who signed it?
It's Zucker.
Okay.
Zucker Brothers.
And don't call me Shirley.
You were very breathless there. I mean, you are really
that's exciting.
Exciting.
But you're really fanboying here. Like I can't remember. I don't know that I've ever seen you as excited to see someone as you were when Murr ended up right here in your face.
Well, you guys just kind of brushed me away. Hey, you got to go. There's a guest coming on. I was like, okay, what boring sports person are you talking to now? You're going to interview someone about NFL free agency. And then I saw Murr's face and I was like, is my TV taking over my Zoom screen right now? What's happening, man? Like I said, I watch these guys all the time and I love the content. But also, Airplane is one of my favorite movies. These people need to be taken to a hospital. A hospital, what is it? The big building where sick people go to get better. But that doesn't matter right now, right? That and what do they have to eat? The fish or the steak? It's like, yes, I had the lasagna. These are all of my favorite lines from one of my favorite movies. So this has all been an honor, but you know what? I feel like I have to step away. I'm overstepping my bounds right here. So
hey, can I give you guys a little sneak peek of what we're filming? I won't say when we're filming it, but just know it's during the NCAA tournament. One of us is getting punished and going to like a packed sports bar watching one of the Final Four games. And the punishment is very simple. All the guys got to do is keep changing the channel in the bar.
Oh, Murr, is it?
It's going to be chaos.
Is it going to be in Phoenix? I live in Phoenix, and the Final Four is in Phoenix. If it's going to be here in Phoenix.
Where the game is, what it is, where you you know, we'll be in disguise, but some jerk in the bar is going to keep changing every TV in the bar so nobody can watch the game, and it's going to be one of us.
The impractical jokers are going on a new drive tour. It has stops in 19 cities, kicks off this weekend, March 23rd, Hollywood, Florida, down here. Tickets for all tour dates are on sale now at impracticaljokerslive.com, and you can check out all the tour dates for Impractical Jokers there. Tickets are on sale, as I said, practicaljokerslive.com. Amin, thank you. Get out of here. Before you go here, though, James, I thought Letterman was an inspiration for some of what it is that you guys did in terms of feeding each other lines through the earpiece. I thought your comedic influence was a little later than the ones you're citing.
Oh, sure. I mean, come on. Letterman did it all the time, sending down to the deli downstairs. What's his name on the show?
Was it Rupert?
Yes, Rupert, down to the deli right below the studio. I mean, that we used to watch that, you know, 30, 20 years ago,
You pulled that one out, man.
Well, no, because I love Letterman. And so these guys, look, everybody, I don't know. Look, I can talk to you about the skeleton of what you guys have built, but it's not just charisma. You guys have connected with your audience because you're summoning the comedic spirit of several decades of funny people on like what television was meant to be when it was silliest, when it was just like this thing that you can just turn on and it's just funny to watch because you don't have to think about anything else. You know, you understand the escape and the addiction that you are for people like Amin, right?
I agree. I think you're dead on accurate. I think we remind people of the days when you come home from work and you just want to put on the TV and laugh for a half hour and not worry about any of the BS going on in the world. I think you're dead on accurate.
We will talk to you again, James. Look forward to seeing what you guys do in Hollywood. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's my favorite show to watch when I'm high.
Lucy, where you been, Lucy? Where you been?
I literally just spoke.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Dan Le Batard.
Again, started on the breakfast flan.
Oh, man. I've been singing a song to myself all morning long. What? Breakfast flan. Da-na-na-na.
Stugatz.
Have you never heard the breakfast flan
no,
song?
No, hit me with it.
Okay. I wish I had some breakfast flan. Breakfast flan. Where can I find a breakfast like that?
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
With a giant smile on his face, Stugatz saw this man appear in the Zoom with all of those newspaper clippings in the background from a different time, a different century, back when the Zags were nobodies, and he made an Elite Eight run. Stugatz just pointed at Dan Monson, just pointed at him and said, March, with a giant smile on his face.
Yeah.
And there is no bigger story in March than fired on Monday. Fired on Monday.
Crazy.
And makes the tournament run. And here he is back in the dance again. Dan, thank you for making the time for us. I saw you interviewed after the game, and you were just giving off so much gratitude because you're like, I got to steal money coaching basketball. Are you kidding me? I can't believe I get to still do this for a living. And your gratitude is endearing,
But also, they fired you on Monday, Dan, and it's insulting that I can't even believe that 4 days later you're still coaching the team, and not only coaching the team, but Stugat says you should be the coach at Duke now, that Long Beach State doesn't deserve you.
Well, you know, every coach in the world would work for free in the NCAA tournament, but I'm the only one that's really going to do it. So I practice what I preach, I guess, because every coach, you know, it's all our dreams. This is a week where everybody would not just do it for free, but we'd all pay to play in this tournament. And I'm just living in the moment. And that's what we tell our players to do. And that's what, you know, the key to a success of a successful basketball team is to stay in the moment. And it's been a fun way to approach it. I do feel blessed to have 17 years at Long Beach State, and actually 37 years at 12 at Gonzaga, 8 at Minnesota, and 17 here. 37 years in three spots in this business is crazy. So I have it pretty good.
Coach, what is your job status? Do you want your job back? Like, what's going on here? Because you have an incredible amount of leverage right now.
It's a great question.
Yeah.
Do you really want that girl back that doesn't want you? I mean, once they break up with you and they can't find somebody else, or, you know, I don't really look at it that way. But I think we said it was mutual, and to a degree it was. I was feeling at the end of the year that maybe this program needs a new voice and I need a new challenge. So I agreed with it on Monday. However, I didn't agree with the timing of it. I said I was ready to resign if we didn't have a good tournament. But I couldn't resign on Monday because that'd be quitting on my team, you know. And if I teach these kids anything at all, is we're fighting till the end. And that's what I'm so proud about them. They did, and they went from Monday on. They stayed in the moment and really just fought for each other. And I think we played together throughout the year, but this last week we played for each other. And it's just very gratifying to be a part of something that special of a run.
Juju, can you put on the poll, please? Can a breakup be totally mutual to a degree? To a degree? Because I'm sorry, say that again?
Well, you know, you tell the girl it's not your fault, it's mine, you know.
But it doesn't sound like it was totally mutual, and it can either be, it's either you were fired or it's to a degree it was mutual.
And sometimes things change. Oh, I mean, Martin, you have never looked sexier than you do right now.
Well, this is the thing. This is what Stugatz is saying right now, that Monson, you might have broken up, but he's good for a good romp in the bedroom every once in a while with an ex-partner.
It is a little strange, but you know, breakups happen that way. And as you said, you know, it's hard to know whose fault it was sometimes, but, I'm at peace with where I'm at, and I'm going to enjoy the week. It was a little depressing this morning to wake up and be a 20-point underdog on your dreams.
Yes,
that's nothing to you because you were fired.
But you've come back from being fired. What's Arizona? What's a little 2-seed? What's the problem?
That's your next job.
Come on.
And Tommy owes me one because I hired him at Gonzaga before I left. And then Few calls me and says, who's this guy you left me with that you didn't tell me about? You know, this grad guy that's hanging around here. And I'm telling him why he's here. So, you know, and he just signed a new contract. So he's good. But you know, they let mine run clear to dry on April 30th.
Now we're talking. There's the bitterness I wanted.
Yeah, that's the girlfriend I want. Tommy needs to start dating me.
Okay, so it was a little hurt. Wait a minute. Let's cut through some of the charming bullshit of we understand you're grateful for the job and 17 years under all circumstances. That's a successful relationship. That it ends is no insult to anybody, but you were fired on Monday. And I don't know if you thought your job merited firing or not. I don't know if you're not saying to them, well, wait a minute, with the resources that Long Beach State has, we're pretty competitive in a difficult time to be competitive. I don't know how much flex you want on your university here because you feel like you've been wrongly let go to a degree.
Some of that, all that, maybe part of it. Yeah, it's a tough relationship, you know. I mean, you want to still be friends, as they say, you know. We're still going to be really good friends when we break up, I guess, because I do have some great memories here. My four kids, you know, grew up here. You know, 17 years. I got one was a graduate assistant on the team. Another one was a sophomore on the team. I got a daughter that's at Gonzaga as a senior and on the crew team, and one a senior in high school. So, you know, it's the memories are great, and I don't, you know, I want to leave there with those memories and not the last week determining what I've, you know, what my relationship with my gold girlfriend is.
Well put, all of it. So, but take us through the awkwardness and the emotion and the hurt, Dan, because you pour your life and your identity into these things. 20 years is not a small time. 17 years to build a program. You develop family. The relationships you have on campus around school are real. They are your life outside of it. So what was Monday like for you? How, like, did you see it coming? How cold did it feel? Did it hurt?
Well, I texted him after the game on the Saturday night, you know, and asked for the meeting. So I hung myself, I guess. But I said, hey, because my best player pulled his groin. We won in the preseason. I think we're the only team in the country to win three BCS true road games. We won at Michigan, we won at USC, and at DePaul. And we had a good preseason. We were 18-9 at one about 3 weeks ago, second in our league. But we lost the last five games with our leading scorer hurt, and so we were reeling a little bit. So yeah, you know, and your contract's running out, and you have a new AD who's only been here about 3 months, 4 months, and so you've been in the business long enough. You know that there's talk about that. So, you know, I called the meeting and I was going to, you know, talk to him about resigning or, you know, at the end of after the tournament or whatever, you know, and that kind of thing. But I was a little blindsided that they'd made that decision that day. So I went home and they had different, you can resign, you can be retire, you can be fired, whatever you want. However, you know, they didn't really care the terminology, but they were adamant that it had to happen Monday. And that was the only thing that to me was the timing of it, because I felt that, you know, as a basketball coach, this is a week you work for all year. This is where you determine how your year is. You know, the tournament is what at a mid-major you play for. So I was grateful that they were going to let me coach it. But I went home and talked to my and told my family. And that was, you know, we'd been open about, you know, me retiring or resigning anyway. So, you know, that wasn't that hard, but it was difficult with the players. And that was probably the hardest and most gratifying thing, because with your players, you don't know. It's like with your own kids, you know, you think they love you, but they got to, you know, show you or tell you at some point. And because you're disciplining them, you're holding them accountable, you're pushing them. And to see that locker room and my son in that locker room was the hardest part, to watch my own son who's on the team go through it with his teammates. But the love was unconditional there. I mean, they showed it the way they played this week, that you know, as I told them, as motivation, they didn't just give up on me. They gave up on you guys because they didn't wait to see what you could do and didn't think that you could, you know, have success this week. And I think our players really felt that togetherness, that we had a cause to play for something besides ourselves. And in this day and age, if you can get a team to put all their own stuff aside, it can be pretty special, and that's what our week was.
They play for you, Coach. If they wanted you back, if the university wanted you back, would you say yes, and would you ask for double?
I would only say yes if all the players would come back, and I don't. I think that's in this day and age, that's not going to, you know. I mean, it's been done, you know. It's in the fact that they've made it clear that they want to go in a new direction. It's a new athletic director, and I support that. I mean, they gave me 17 years, and if they want a new direction, they deserve to have that. So that's their decision. If that came to a point, I mean, obviously.
It seems like you don't support it. It seems like this guy got here 3 or 4 months ago, doesn't know what he's doing. You've been here 17 years. He doesn't respect what you built.
Some new hotshot.
And bleep off, new hotshot. I've been winning around here for 17 years.
And we're dancing.
You got here 3, 4 months ago. Now you want to dance with me? You're not even paying me. You fired me on Monday.
Well, you guys are asking me if I'd take a job back when I got a hefty house payment, and I've got bills to pay, and I don't have a job. I lose my team, so it's hard to say no. I wouldn't take a job. I mean, I still feel I want to coach. I love to compete. I love when you get to be 60 years old and you get to hang out with 18-year-old kids, it rejuvenates you every day. So I love my job. I love what I do. So I want to coach somewhere next year. I do know that.
Dan, thank you. It's a charming story.
I want this man to make a deep run into the tournament.
Yes, of course. And don't be surprised if Dan Monson makes it to the Sweet 16. He's only a 20-point underdog in Game 1 against an overwhelming Arizona team.
Yeah, but I got trash on Tommy Lloyd. I feel like I can bribe my way, into the second round.
Okay, a great aggregated accusation.
Monson.
Yes,
Monson.
Coach retaliates for firing Monson. By bribing his next opponent.
That's my guy.
Thank you, Dan. Excellent work.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Don Levitard.
I mean, they used to call me Chris Karaoke.
Stugatz.
That back row is bringing it today.
This is the Don Levitar Show with the Stugatz.
Chris Cody, in part of what it is that you're doing around here, because you and Billy are getting buried with March Sadness, with just things that have to be done around here, I want you to create a tomorrow file. A file of things that we will get to tomorrow. For example, Bruno Mars reportedly owing the MGM Grand $50 million in gambling losses. I don't know how that information travels, how accurate the reports are, but all weekend, because Bruno Mars is making about $90 million to do a residency in Las Vegas, it would be very easy for someone to end up in those casino rooms and lose a lot of money quickly, and then a casino owns you. I want to get to that tomorrow, hopefully with a guest that can sort of explain what happened there. Also tomorrow, Mike Vrabel couldn't get a job, so now he's just consulting for the Browns, coaching and personnel. Mike Vrabel, all of us agreed before this offseason started, whoa, he got fired, he's pretty good. Tennessee, they overachieved every year, couldn't get a job. Him and Belichick out of work, so now he has to take some sort of ancillary job to remain in football, because all of the young whiz kids are coming for all the jobs.
And Stefanski is the one that hired him. I have top 5 people this NFL season that cannot look over their shoulder tomorrow.
All right, put it tomorrow. Okay. We've got weekend observations tomorrow. We didn't do enough with Sammy Sosa today. He's had several years, decades, to respond to this question. When you say mistake, you made a mistake, Sammy. What do you mean by mistake? Do you mean that maybe you did steroids?
Is it time for you and Tom Rickus to sit down to get back into their good races?
Well, like I say, I'm a mature man. I think that it's a possibility that we can do that. I'm open. I don't have a problem with that. I have a lot of misunderstanding in the past, but now I'm a real man. I feel great. So I recognize my mistake. So, hey, why not?
Are you telling me that you recognize the fact that maybe you did do steroids?
This is not a question that I expected from you.
So good. Terrible.
Maybe you did.
That laugh. That, and it's just, and he asked it so gently. Maybe you did do steroids?
not a question that I expected from you.
Can you guys put up on the screen, please, the AD who stole this lovable, charming Dan Monson's job? Look at this, Bobby Smitherin. He looks exactly like you'd expect him to look.
Punchable
look at his
face.
Look at his business card. Old, bald Bobby Smitherin coming in here, taking Dan Monson's job. Whippersnapper.
Monson had the last laugh, though, Dan.
The other story this weekend, Stugatz, in college basketball, I don't know if you guys saw this because contractually this was funny. Kevin Keats at NC State, they evidently won five more games wherever it is that the Wizards play their home games than the Wizards have this month. NC State blows through the ACC tournament somehow, and their coach, Stugatz, now is guaranteed by contract. He was about to be fired. A two-year extension that guarantees him a $400,000 raise and is several millions of dollars. They were about to fire him, and he wins five games in 5 days.
Yep, and listen, they're a threat to go to the Elite Eight, perhaps the Final Four. They're a really good team.
No,
someone
not.
Said that back
no,
in January.
Not. No, they are not. Oh. They are not a good team. You did say that back in January, though.
Dan. Keep an eye on NC State. Good coaching. Great senior guard play.
Hey.
Don't be surprised if come March,
wow,
the Wolfpack,
it's early,
find themselves in the Elite Eight.
It's early for the Wolfpack.
They're good. Mike knows.
Damn good.
Yep.
Confirmed by Mike.
They're not.
Mike also said Mike Miami knows. Was
they're
there.
Not yeah, good.
I love a good confirmation.
They were not any good. We also have a update that put it in the tomorrow file. The Oktoberfest toe.
Oh.
Chris Cody says he's got an update on the Oktoberfest really? Toe. Lucy, you were disgusted by this.
I'm just happy you guys are talking about feet when I'm not going to be here. Yeah. I'm really tired of the whole foot thing.
Oh, I have to wait for tomorrow to talk about that?
You want
to
do it now? You want to do
it? There's a lot of context here, actually, so let's save it for tomorrow.
All right.
Thank God.
Let's update our March Sadness tournament, Billy.
Today or tomorrow? Because we're doing the tomorrow folder.
Today.
For the tomorrow today. Folder, Dan, you didn't even mention this. We got a pop-off tomorrow, right? Yeah. Is that what it's called? I don't remember the official name.
I thought we were going with the corn test.
It's corn test.
Corn test. That's what I meant.
Stugatz will be judging it, along with, I have to figure out, because you didn't try Dan's popcorn. Dan made popcorn during our Oscar party. Right. My dad thinks he can cook anything, so we're going to have tomorrow Dan versus my dad's popcorn.
Wow.
And we're going to have three people who haven't tasted any of the popcorn judge it. Stugatz, you're one of them.
Okay.
But I'm excited about this.
Corn and feet.
My dad 0-for-1 in cook-offs.
Cool.
Right.
Because him and Roy turked off, and that didn't work out well for my dad.
So now a pop-off.
Turking it.
I can be bought, then.
Can I get a couple more of the songs from the tournament, please, in the songs category? It's only one of the brackets.
Well, I was going to show you the other regions, Dan, if that's okay, because that's kind of what you planned it with the sound people. Then I'm going
to set up. So songs tomorrow.
This is what I'm thinking. Tomorrow. Now, let's move over to the Greg Cody region. I was going to give you the number one, but I think Greg should be here for the number one. So let's go to the number five in the Greg Cody region.
God, the heat were your boys last night. That's my limited fake Zazzle. I'm a 3-time Heat championship broadcaster. Awesome. Bad news for the Warriors. Okay. What does Zazzle say about me?
That he would sit here in the other building and just doesn't know anything about how to do radio. I used to take it. It was an instant. Now, look, I was younger, okay? I've come a long way. But it used to be an insult to me that you're in there and you don't know how to do anything. And it would bother me.
I just laugh at it. I mean, how can you not
like
just laugh at it?
Like, the microphone's not on. He's talking. He doesn't realize that we're on the air. You got the hard outs. It's like he's coughing into the microphone.
But you've got a rebuttal, certainly.
Well, first. This is a new and unimproved Dan Le Batard show with the Stugatz. Gamble on by DraftKings.
Billy, what is that category? What is this? It's just Greg Cody doing a like fake Zazzle? What's the category?
Well, that clip was supposed to be him.
Last night. That's my limited fake Zazzle.
That clip was supposed to be him calling Zazzle saying, nice hat, asshole. That was that. It's
so
a
that's
Greg Cody
not the right
thing.
Clip. Yeah. They're playing the wrong clip.
Love the right clip.
Excellent. Okay, tomorrow maybe.
Tomorrow, for the tomorrow file.
Billy, just put it away. Yeah, yes, okay. Thank you. I don't want any more from your tournament. Just keep it. Just keep it to yourself. Lucy, Jessica, give me as much as you possibly can in 90 seconds that Billy is hogged and ruined on what you thought of all of yesterday's madness.
Awesome. I can totally give you 60 seconds on all of March Madness. One thing I do think about this year's tournament, Lucy, because you're not the only Iowa fan who's upset about the draw. All of the brackets are hard. There's a lot of good teams. There were probably like 10 teams that I would have told you before the seeding, like I'd put these in my final four. And yes, three of them are in Iowa's bracket, UCLA, LSU, and Iowa. But I'm still not sure. Like I've already done the thing where I've made my bracket and been like, I f***ing hate this. I f***ing hate this bracket. This bracket sucks. I hate my final four. I have South Carolina winning. But there's just too many good teams this year.
My issue isn't that Iowa has a tough region. It's that Iowa was the second overall seed. And yeah. With that, you earn the second easiest region. Like, that is the way it goes. South Carolina earned the easiest region. Iowa should have been in a region more like USC's, which I think is significantly easier than Iowa. Iowa's region also has a lot of teams that Iowa has played already this season or played postseason last year.
I would
justice for my girl.
I'm with you on that. I mean, Notre Dame also kind of got screwed by being the worst of the two seeds, but that's all I got because we're out of time.
The rest tomorrow.
I won't be here.
Tomorrow file.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text Thin to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text Thin to 200-300. That's Thin to 200-300. Thin to 200-300.